This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to visit with one of the most interesting people you'll hear from in a long time, Chris Lowney. Chris is the Vice Chairman of the Board of Common Spirit Health. Common Spirit Health is a $32 to $35 billion health system, a not-for-profit health system. Chris has got the fascinating mix of background of being a former Jesuit priest, I believe, and also an investment banker, and then ended up very involved in healthcare, and just a fascinating background and a fascinating thinker and leader. We'll talk to Chris about leadership, his career journey, and a little bit more. Chris, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Scott, first of all, thanks for the chance to speak with you and your listeners. That's a real pleasure for me. I'll give the one sentence introduction of myself, and then be happy to talk about my career journey if you want. So, in a sentence, I guess I would say I'm an investment banker in recovery, a long-suffering New York Mets fan, and a very grateful board member of Common Spirit Health.
Well, magnificent. And being a suffering sports fan, I could feel your pain as a Bears fan. We were one and out yesterday in the playoffs, and we don't expect to get to the playoffs, but we do expect if we get there to be one and out. So I understand being a long-suffering fan. Chris, talk about your career journey. I mean, it's really a fascinating journey and an honest journey, and it's fascinating. Tell us a little bit about your path.
I'd be happy to, but let me put in a frame that hopefully might resonate with at least a few folks. You know, I grew up in a time when we still had this idea that you were going to go to college, figure out what you do for the rest of your life, and then that's what you did for the rest of your life. And, you know, those days are pretty much over for the great majority of us. And I think we're sort of living in a time where most of us will have different chapters in our lives. And, you know, hopefully we get the chance with each chapter that it will somehow equip us and prepare us for the next. So, I mean, with that frame, my life kind of embodies that story of chapters. I'm a New York kid, went to a high school run by the Jesuits, and then entered a Jesuit seminary right after high school. I never became a priest, but I was studying to be a priest. And when I decided my calling in life was not to be a priest, I did the next most logical thing that anybody else would do, which was go to work in investment banking. So I was lucky enough to get a place in the training program at JP Morgan and had a lovely, challenging, interesting career there. And in the course of that time, was lucky enough to work in Japan, in Singapore, in London, New York as a managing director. I sort of had the idea that I didn't want my life only to be, I worked at JP Morgan for 40 years and then I retired, you know, and there must be something, there must be other meaningful, fulfilling things to do in a lifetime. And one of the things that had long struck me in Morgan life was, you know, the world is changing and becoming more volatile in a kind of way that leadership is becoming a much more crucial issue. And we're still talking about leadership a lot of times in very, superficial, shallow tips and tricks kind of way. And so I left Morgan in part because I wanted to do some writing about leadership. And the first thing I wrote is a book called Heroic Leadership. I'll spare the long saga of telling that whole book story. But let me just in a couple of sentences mention the three maybe core themes of that book and subsequently what I speak and write about leadership. One theme, everybody's got a leadership opportunity and responsibility. You know, in a world that's complex, you can't have like one person at the top of this hierarchical heap making all the decisions. You really need everybody to step up and show leadership. So that's one theme. And a second theme that love, strange as that word may sound, really needs to be part of any leader's sense of calling, mission, duty, whatever word you want to use. You know, if you're entrusted with other human beings, you have to see them as people who have dignity and potential and you have to see your job as treating them commensurately. In other words, trying to unlock their potential, help them to flourish, help their careers to grow. And a third theme, I'll just mention in a sentence, the idea of self-awareness. You know, with so much coming at us in social media and so on, people really need to be in deeper touch with themselves. What's going on inside me? What do I stand for? What's important in life? And these are self-awareness tasks.
Let me stop on those three concepts for a second, because you hit three of them that are very, very important in terms of organizations. Organizations need multiple great leaders. It's not just one hierarchical leader. It's not just Jamie Dimon at the top of J.P. Morgan. It's lots and lots of people building a system, similar with Common Spirit. It's not just Lloyd Dean. It's a tremendous number of great leaders, and I get a chance to visit with a lot of them. So I see that and agree with that. The second concept you mentioned is you better love your people. If you want to be one of these leaders that is top down and difficult and brutal, but a taskmaster, that might have worked with Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants a long time ago, but it's not a strategy that works today with people. You better love your people ultimately. And I think those are just great thoughts. And the third thing is this issue of self-awareness. There's very little that's more important in almost anything you do than being self-aware of how you are and how you come across. So I love those three points. I just wanted to pull those out for a second. And Chris, I did want to ask you sort of the serious and not serious question of Jesuit leaders versus investment banking leaders. Who are easier to deal with?
that's a very good question. You know, I guess what I would say is to duck the question, human beings are human beings, you know, and, you know, you whether it's in a Jesuit seminary or in a J.P. Morgan office around the world, you meet with, you know, you come across wonderful, inspiring, dedicated people. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all also needy. We have ego. We have our own issues. We want to go ahead. So, you know, people are people, has been my experience, for good and for bad.
100%. And talk about your evolution with Common Spirit and the predecessor organization to Common Spirit and how you ended up investment banker, Jesuit leadership, becoming so involved in one of the great not-for-profit faith-based organizations of our nation. Not even our nation. It also works a ton in South America and other places too. But how did you get so involved in this great institution?
Yeah, so I mentioned that I wrote Heroic Leadership after leaving the Jesuits and after leaving J.P. Morgan. And, you know, then would start to get invitations to give talks, was lucky enough to be invited to give a talk to management groups at CHI at one time, and was then afterward invited to be on the board. And, you know, I don't have, in J.P. Morgan life, I never covered healthcare, so I don't really have a healthcare background. I hope my finance background brought something to the table at CHI. You know, for me, if that first connection was serendipity, it's really been a wonderful journey and opportunity. You know, to me, to be with and a lot of healthcare organizations, not just faith-based, but a lot of healthcare organizations bring this, where on the one hand, you have this deep commitment to mission, you know, this sense of, you know, look, we're not all doing this to collect a paycheck just and to get ahead. Those things are important. You know, we're doing this because we, you know, have a sense that we want to make life better, we want to bring healing, we want to improve the health of communities, however one might frame that. So on the one hand, this deep sense of mission, but on the other hand, at the same time, this willingness of doing that, working out a mission in this really complicated, changing, competitive, difficult industry that's healthcare. You know, and as a board member, it's somehow both challenging but deeply satisfying to be with folks who feel a strong sense of mission but are also working that out in the arena of a really difficult changing industry right now.
And talk a little bit about just a moment on the challenges in the industry, the changes in the industry. Just a moment there on sort of what you see from your vantage point. I mean, you've got this magnificent vantage point. Just a few thoughts on what you see.
Yeah, so, you know, we use a cliche, you know, use the cliche of trying to redesign the airplane while it's in flight, you know, and it's a very apt cliche, I think, in the world of healthcare. And, you know, think of what we've been going through in the course of this pandemic. You know, on the one hand, all of the enormous challenges of trying to meet the needs of patients in crisis right now. And I could go on a lot about some of the inspiring things I've seen from our Common Spirit teams and caregivers in that environment. But even as this is going on, we're about the underlying work of trying to complete our evolution as a system that, for example, is not primarily about sick care, but is primarily about bringing care, focusing on social determinants, trying to help communities stay healthy and be healthy. That's one kind of evolution that's taking place. Another kind of evolution that's taking place is trying to get better and better at using technology to make people's experience of the healthcare system easier, more user-friendly, more efficient, and so on. Another big evolution that our whole nation is in the middle of right now is after we saw the agonies of the George Floyd situation, it only heightened what we all were aware of anyway, healthcare disparities, problems of race. And so another big evolution that we're trying to be part of is trying to focus in a laser way on communities that are underserved, on populations that historically have been disadvantaged, and to helping them have a more equitable and better experience of healthcare.
Thank you very much. And Chris, finally, you're the author of a book called Heroic Leadership. Can you tell us a little bit about that book and some of the themes there?
Scott, I think I'm gonna answer that question, but I'm gonna flip it into Common Spirit's experience during this pandemic, because I'm so awed and proud and inspired by what folks have done. So Heroic Leadership, the idea of heroism in that book was not heroism in the sense of I want to be famous and want people to look at me. Rather, that the essence of real heroes is people who care about something bigger than themselves. And, you know, I've seen like these stories during these months. I'm a New Yorker. And very early in the pandemic, when this area was the worst hit in the world, we had Common Spirit caregivers from Colorado volunteering to come and walk in and be part of care teams in hospitals that were not at all anything to do with Common Spirit Health, but just their sense of heroism, I would say, of service. And, you know, we saw that spirit and have still seen that spirit all over this system. You know, people who are willing to take on new kinds of jobs because the need was so acute in coping with the pandemic, or the ingenuity of people in technology, supply chain, finance, and so on, and trying to say, okay, look, we're going to have to figure out different ways of helping stand up our virtual care, our telehealth, our supply chain, our PPE, and so on. So to me, it's been and continues to be a very inspiring display of what heroism looks like in real organizations. In other words, where you get a pile of people who are willing every day to come up and show up and say, okay, look, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm a little afraid because I'm putting my own health at risk here. But I believe in what we're all trying to do here, and I'm willing to devote some of my time and energy and effort to this cause I really believe in that's bigger than me.
Fantastic, Chris. Chris, where can people learn more about you or about your book? How do they learn more about Chris Lowney?
Well, I'm easy enough to find. There is a website, chrislowney.com, if people do want to learn more about me. And I'm always happy to hear from folks and to keep conversations alive. And I certainly hope that people will be interested in learning more about Common Spirit as well. If you Google us, you can see what we're up to and what we're trying to do these months across the country.
Chris, thank you for joining us. Truly a magnificent career and just great leadership and magnificent leader at the system you're a part of, Common Spirit Health. Thank you for joining us.
That's my great pleasure. Thank you, Scott.